And I drag it out of its cage to get it to the run every day until I finally decided one day I would just open the cage and say, come here. And he followed me everywhere.
Okay, he just didn't want the.
He just didn't want that damn rope.
Yeah, that's how we got Allie. We went to get a dog for my mom, and we ended up rescuing Allie. And they said that she couldn't be put on a leash and the whole thing. And I said, give me a leash. And I just walked right up to Allie. She didn't want them to put her on a leash. She let me in. And then, of course, she immediately came home with us. And now she's our snow gals. And we're going to go see her right now. So.
All right.
All right.
And go home. Relax. Get into your
90s. Exactly. Go home. Nice, get into my 90. This is KFI Los Angeles. It truly is more stimulating.
She was pushing a picture of Dr. Laura into my face.
Why?
And as lovely as I think she is.
You love her, Phil.
I have to start my show. So here, you take that. And set fire.
KFI Los Angeles, more stimulating talk radio.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Also, for Orange County, 1-800-5201-KFI. And for L.A. County, 5201-KFI. Well, we are pushing our start date at Premier Radio back 2 days. So if Don Barrett's listening, it ain't going to be Monday. It's Wednesday. Because I walked in there today, not that it makes any difference to anybody, because it's going to be the same sound and radio show. It's just, it's important to us because we have our own studio, and it's a big deal. And they said that it would be done, and you know, it's not, and that's fine. I'm not going to complain about it. It's good. The guys are working hard, and there's some really good stuff in there, but what do you care, right? It's just that, you know, you anticipate things. And there's just see, when I start on this subject, it makes it sound like I'm talking down KFI, and I don't mean to do that. KFI is a great place. It's like coming to work in a dungeon, but it's a nice place. No, the people are nice. Isn't it kind of dark and musty in this joint, though? How old is this building? I've asked this question, I don't know, countless times. This is like a 50, 60-year-old building. Didn't, like, Kay Kaiser come in here with a big band at one time? Because where we broadcast from is on Ardmore in Los Angeles, and the building is an old-time radio building. And the studio that I'm sitting in right now is enormous. I'm sitting at a small broadcast console, so I have a microphone, I have some knobs and switches, some cart decks, and it only takes up a few feet. Well, the studio itself, Craig sits across from me, the studio itself is huge, because at one time, this was in the old days of radio, this is where guys like, I don't know, like Jack Benny would come in here and do shows, right? This used to be a place, because it's one of those big old-time radio studios where you could have a big band. And you'd have a guy, you know, remember the old cartoon, those old Little Rascals where the guy is, that engineer is pushing in all of those wires and his hair stands on end because he gets feedback? What is that? Who is that guy? Did you ever see that Little Rascals? There's a Little Rascals where the guy gets feedback. He's working these switches and it's a huge bank and he's putting in patch cords all over the place. And one of the kids whistles into the microphone and the guy's hair does a Don King. It just goes, wow, just... So that's what this place was. So it's kind of old, and we can't wait to get out of here. But not because of the people. The people are great. The facility, they should have detonated this thing months, years ago. It should have, I don't want to say anything, but they should have let a few, you know, when they were going to burn it down back in 92, maybe they should have just let them go ahead and do it. I'm kidding. I'm okay. Bad joke. Anyway. We'll be over at Sherman Oaks on Wednesday. Not that it makes any difference to you guys, but just keep in mind, a happy Phil means the show will be a better show, and maybe you'll actually want to listen for more than a few minutes. So our number is 1-800-449-8686. Guess how much money we've made through the generosity of our very fine listeners on the sale of the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. As of today, $71,000. $71,000, fish in the dish. We have made for the great people at my friend's place. What an awesome, awesome accomplishment. Thank you. And if you'd like to order our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, all you got to do is go to the philhendryshow.com website, and you can order it direct online. $23.50 for the CD is $20, $3.50 shipping and handling. So that's it. That's a wonderful thing. I think I better close some doors. Can you hear all this crap going on in there, Mike? Got people talking and everything? So that's an amazing and a tremendous thing. And I will comment further on the fact that we're not going to do any more personal appearances. You know, because what I'm thinking of doing for next year is like a one-man show. Bringing on all of the variety of guests that we've had on the show over the last, you know, 3 years. But doing a one-man, something a little bit different besides the CD. We'll rent out a theater. We can sell tickets. We'll have it in the barn. We'll pay for Mom's operation. We'll do something like that that I think can, oh, I don't know, bespeak a theatricality heretofore unseen. So that ought to be some fun. And we'll do it next year. Because, like I said, we've sort of given up on the old personal appearance thing. And we actually had a guy come through our house today. He looked at it. Because we're selling our house. We're moving into a new one. And David Hall was asking me about it today, and I told him all about the billiard room and 3 acres. And I could see him increasingly getting more irritated as I told him about how bitching this house was, because suddenly he realizes that a guy that works for him makes more money than him. And it was kind of bothering him. But I'm kidding around, David. I don't know how much you make. You better be making more than me. So, but then this guy came and looked at the house, and he actually laid a number out there. And he said, would you take this much? And my wife, who runs does the shot, you know, she's the one who really is ruling the roost there when it comes to the money. This guy says, well, would your clients, he's talking to my real estate agent, would your clients be interested in... Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. We're not doing any more personal appearances for the CD. That's just the way it's going to be. I don't know why. It just is a decision that I made after... I don't know. The show is bigger than that now. I don't know. It's, we got to do something else to sell the CD. And sitting in a furniture showroom on a Saturday afternoon, you know, with a couple, 300 people coming through the door. I don't know. I don't want to do it. I still wanted to. What do you want?
I want to ask a question.
Let me ask you a question first, okay?
Yeah.
What emboldens you and empowers you to just come walking in here when I'm doing something on the air?
No, I heard you say talk about a CD. I want to ask a question.
Yeah, but what makes you think you can walk in here when I'm on the air? The light's on, 2 minutes into the show or whatever it is, and you're asking me questions, right?
Well, the light was on. That's why I want to ask. I said I'd come in.
The light's on, man. That means I'm on the air.
Yeah, I want to ask a question.
The light's on means I'm on the air, so that's when you want to come in and ask a question.
Yeah, because that's when the people want to hear.
What do you want?
Well, I mean, I listened the last couple of nights about it. You say you're not going to do personal appearances, right?
No, I'm not going to do anymore.
On it for the CD?
Yeah. What?
Well, I mean, what? Why? What is the problem? I mean, you know, you make a lot of money for those. And
what do you mean, what is the problem? I don't want to do them anymore, okay? I'm bored. And I want to do something else. And I'm not going to do any more CDs.
You're not going to do any more CDs?
No, I'm not, man. And why does anybody want to hear what you're saying about this?
So, are you bored?
Yeah, I'm bored. And why does anybody want to hear what you got to say about this?
Is your career bad? Are you uptight? Is your career bad? Huh?
Look, bud, I've talked about this before. I said, yes, I get frustrated sometimes.
You know something? I never heard anybody. I'll be honest with you. I've been around a lot of people, okay? And
bud, I got it.
No, let's listen to me. If you got a ball in your pants. If you got a ball in your pants, you listen.
If I have a ball in my pants, I'll listen, huh?
You listen, all right? All right?
Yeah.
Phil, I hope you have two ball in your pants, but even if you have one ball, you listen.
Okay, man, I think I got at least one. Go ahead.
All right. You talk about your radio career like you're always upset because, you know, nothing's going right. You're always upset because you don't like your personal appearance. What's wrong with your personal appearance?
I'm not talking about my personal appearances in the way I look in a mirror. Okay, there isn't much I can do about that. I'm talking about when I go out and do personal appearances, okay? I'm tired of that.
Yeah, but you're always trying to make your show, you know.
All right.
Yeah, my show sucks. You know, you're always crying about, are you uptight, Phil? You know, Phil, you can do what you want. Okay? You can do what you want.
Oh, well, thank you. I can do what I want. You know, I don't think I spend that much time crying about my career or crying about my personal appearances or crying about the CD, and I can't believe I'm starting a show off talking to you about this stuff. I'm simply saying I don't want to do any more of those. You know,
Yeah, but it's the same thing. I was crying about it. I can't get my first appearance and I'm bored. And I don't make enough money for the CD. And not enough people come and see me. You had 300 people who come and see you last weekend. And then you had, how many you have Game Works?
I don't know. How many did I have at Game Works?
Yeah, probably about 500-600 people come see you there. You can do what you want, Phil. You know, that's what you're going to do. But I'll tell you, a lot of people around here think you're an a-hole.
Who?
I'm not going to say.
A lot of people around here, what? Around the radio station here?
A lot of people around here think you're an a-hole. Because you're crying all the time, bitching and complaining all the time. You're not going to do this. You have people in a market apartment. They work hard to get all your personal appearance. And then you come on a radio and say you're not do no.
And then I come on the radio and I say I not do no.
You know what I talk about.
I came on the radio and said I don't want to do any more personal appearances. If the marketing department has put together more personal appearances for me, excuse me.
God damn it, what'd you have?
Carl's Jr., okay?
Jesus H.
I said excuse me.
God damn. Oh.
I said excuse me, man, okay?
What'd you have?
I had a number one combo.
Jesus.
Well, I'm sorry.
A lot of people... Hold on for a minute.
Now what are you doing?
Open the door.
Oh, come on, will you?
A lot of people around here think you're acting like an asshole.
Who?
I must say.
I'm not trying to make anybody's life difficult, okay?
I'm just saying. Dr. Doker Lore.
Who?
Doker Lore, not like you.
Who's Doker Lore?
Doker Lore, she not like you.
Dr. Laura?
Yeah, she not like you. Rush Limbaugh, not like you. Hate your gut. And a lot of people...
What do you mean Rush Limbaugh hates my gut? Can't you speak properly, man? I don't know what you're...
You tell all the people out there what you really believe it, that you don't even want to be around them. And you'd rather not be around the people, right?
Well, what are you getting so upset about it?
Because I'm sitting in the newsroom every night. I got to listen to the same crap by you every night of the night. You know something, Phil? You got to get on people's nerves.
Doker Lore don't like me. You mean Dr. Lore, right?
Right.
And Rush Limbaugh hate my gut. Jesus.
I'm not mean it, Phil.
I don't know what's wrong with me, bud. Maybe I don't think that I'm worthy what I have, okay?
You don't think you're worthy for what you have. Well, you know something? I agree with you.
Thanks.
But when you not think you're good enough, the best thing to do is pretend you think you're good enough, and everything will be good.
When I don't think I'm good enough...
When you don't think you're good enough, you pretend you're good enough, and then you'll be good.
Oh, so in other words, you agree with me that I'm not good enough and I'm not worthy of this stuff.
Right.
So I should pretend like I am, and then I'll feel better.
Right, because you're really not. But when you're not, you'll feel better about it, and you're...
Get out of here.
You don't mean it.
Great, man. I'll start to pretend like I'm good enough, and then I'll feel really great.
Well, you'll feel good, because right now you're not good enough. You blow.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, thanks a lot, man. I'm going to feel real good about that.
Well, I mean, you are. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'll just go home, and I'll say how much I blow, but I'll pretend like I don't. And what is that, man? Psycho-cybernetics? Is that some...
Norman Vincent Peale.
Who?
Norman Vincent Peale.
Norman Vincent Peale, he didn't write anything about, hey, if you suck, go home and pretend like you don't, and therefore you'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. He said, if you blow, pretend like you not blow, then you feel good.
If you blow, pretend like you don't blow, and then you'll feel good. Norman Vincent Peale.
Right. That's the best way to be. Doker Lore talk about a lot.
Yeah, okay, man, I'll have to check out Doker Lore tomorrow and find out what she's doing on her show. The Phil Henry Show. Thanks a lot, bud.
Yeah, so in other words, you just move on, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm moving on. I'm moving on, okay?
Good. You are an a-hole.
Good. I'm moving on. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And it's the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And I was just talking to our news guy here, Chris Little, and he was mentioning Sean Hannity. Do you know the name Sean Hannity? Well, the guy's on Fox. He has a TV show. And I think he has a television show with another guy where it's one of those point-counterpoint deals. It's a news show. And, you know, one guy takes an ultra-conservative point of view, and the other guy takes the, like, the liberal point of view. And Sean Hannity, very talented guy, and had a radio show in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta back in 1992, and I think he's in New York now. When I was on locally in Atlanta in 92, now we are carried in Atlanta by WGST, and I think back in 92, Sean Hannity was on GST. So I got to know this guy not in Atlanta, though. I got to know him in California when I was at KVEN in Ventura. And how did I get to know him? He used to send me notes. He used to send me fan mail, okay? The guy was right out of UCSB. And, you know, boy, Phil, you're fantastic. I think your show is really funny. You know, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread and all this crap. And I'm going into radio, too. I think maybe he was doing something out of Santa Barbara. I'm not sure. But then I got to Atlanta, and I got some more mail from him saying, boy, your show is really funny. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread and canned beer. And I hope I get to meet you. And then the next thing I turn around, the dude's on television. This cat's the guy's on TV, and I think he's got a show in New York, like a radio show in New York. And he's, like, still sending me letters. Nah, I'm just kidding. He isn't. But imagine if you're still sending me, I think your show is the bitchin'est thing I've ever heard. And by the way, you know, I got a TV show now. If you'd like to be on it sometime. The guy's, like, I guess a fan of mine, and I'm very gratified and I'm very flattered. But his career is, like, kicking ass. He's gone way past anything that I've ever imagined for myself. All the while sending me these love letters saying, your show is really bitchin' and you're great. No, he's a nice guy, you know. He's doing this political show. And I got home last night, and there I was, sitting in my, you know, cheap jeans and my cheap sweatshirt, and I had a can of probably Old Milwaukee or something, and I was feeding the cat out of my hand, and I was looking at my 15-year-old TV set, and I flipped it on, and there's Sean Hannity. And I'm going, okay, did my life go wrong? Or I don't understand anymore. Did my life go wrong? Would you think that your life went wrong or something? I don't know. There's the guy that used to send me letters about how bitching my show was, and the cat's, you know, he's living large on TV, and I'm feeding the cat out of my hand some of that cat tuna. I got the cat in my lap, you know, and it's got mange. So anyway, that was the story. Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica this evening. What is going on, Margaret, with this column that you got coming out tomorrow?
Phil, the column really is reflective of something that has been in my heart and has been in the hearts of the members of my family for a long time. And I thought it was time really to just start to tell the truth about something that I suppose otherwise we wouldn't be telling the truth about. The column is called The Child Comes First. And it was born out of a series of confrontations that we've had with neighbors and with children at my son's school. And I realized that others will view it as very strange, but I did decide to go public with the fact that we have in our home our children who were very traumatized by the earthquake in 94. Now, the people listening to me in Los Angeles know that many children were very traumatized by the 94 quake.
The Northridge earthquake.
Yes. My son, Jason, has had a very difficult time since the Northridge earthquake sleeping by himself. And yes, since the 94 earthquake, when he has expressed the need to sleep with mother, to sleep in our bed, we have said yes. I have said yes.
And how old is the boy?
He is 13. And
all right. The kid.
Phil, we've been through all of this with a great many people. I know what you're going to say.
All right. I just wanted, the kid is a 13-year-old boy, still sleeping. How many nights a week is he sleeping with you?
You know something, Phil? I don't think it's about that.
Just please tell me, how many nights a week is he sleeping with you?
Sometimes up to 3 nights a week. And I knew that your reaction would be that way because we've been down this road, Phil, for the past 6 years. We have been down this road. And we have decided to go public because my child, if it is a battle between public perception and...
I just want to be clear that you've got a 13-year-old son. You know,
Phil, I really resist the temptation to be sarcastic and listen to what I have to say. Because
I'm not trying to turn this into something funny. I just heard you say that you got a 13-year-old son who is still sleeping in your bed with you. He's sleeping in mommy's bed because he's afraid of the earthquake.
And I have listened to this incredulity for a long time.
You have?
Yes.
From the kids at school, from
the kids at school, from my family members, from neighbors, and I will tell you again, and I announce this before God and man, and I will write this in my column tomorrow, that when it comes down to a choice between what people think of me and the well-being of my son, there is no choice at all. The well-being of my son will come first. And by writing about this and by publishing this in my column tomorrow, I think there are going to be an awful lot of mothers who are empowered to come forward and say, yes, I let my son or my daughter sleep in bed with me when they are frightened. I let my son and my daughter sleep in bed with me when they feel scared, when they have been traumatized. Yes, a lot of women, millions of women who are sleeping with their children will come forward, Phil. And
I just think that even though it was the 94 earthquake and even though the kid was traumatized, it seems to me...
It seems to you what, Phil? You don't have children that age. You don't...
Well, we've got 4 in our house, okay?
But you're a stepfather. You're not a mother. You don't understand. My decision to go public in my column is the result of the cruel derision my son has been subjected to at school and the filthy anonymous phone calls that I am getting. And I have kept a journal since this all began. And I do want to reference it, Phil, if I could.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us. She writes a syndicated column. And you are going. Your column tomorrow is called The Child Comes First. Your son, Jason...
Jason J. Delmonico, yes.
All right, he is a... Now, this is the other thing. Your son, you just gave your son's professional name because he's a child actor. Is that correct?
You know the answer to that, Phil.
Okay, great. So everybody now knows that Jason J. Delmonico, who is a child actor, who's been in some feature films, he sleeps with mommy 4 nights a week. Is that it?
Phil, I am not ashamed of loving my son. And I don't think we should bring that into question here.
All right, well, I'm not bringing it into question, but you're the one who said it. Jason J. Delmonico sleeps with mom. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And with me is Margaret Gray, syndicated columnist. We're talking about her son, Jason, who has been... He's not sleeping with you every night, but since the earthquake in 94, he's sleeping, what, 3 or 4?
About 3 to 4 nights a week with us, Phil, because he is very frightened, and it is very natural for a child to want to be with his parents when he's scared. And I'm going to write about that in my column. And we are no longer afraid of what people think. And
well, I had, during the break, a woman called, and she said she was mentioning Oedipal complex.
Boys have the Oedipal complex toward their mothers, whether or not they're sleeping with them. And if that woman is afraid that her son wants to have sex with her, then that's something she can deal with. But
well, all right. Well, that's I think what's in the back of a lot of people. I'm not saying that's what your son wants to do. I think that's in the back of a lot of people's minds.
Oh, I don't doubt it, Phil. And that shows you how really disturbed they are, because you get a lot of people who think it's wrong for a boy to sleep with his mother, and they immediately go to sex because that's where they live, and that's really how disturbed they are. And
you mentioned that you kept a diary.
Yes. I wrote the column tomorrow, Phil, from my diary and from the notes that I took in my diary, if I could read some of that to you.
Go ahead.
January 2nd, this is a year after the Northridge earthquake. January 2nd, 1995, dear diary, I know now that my decision is a wise one. Jason is sleeping peacefully for the first time. April 20th, 1995, dear diary, why can't they just leave us alone? The well-being of my son is paramount. Filthy anonymous phone calls have increased. September 6th, 1996, dear diary, Frank is asking to sleep in the bed tonight. I know his intentions are sexual, and he is my husband. It is something Jason will have to endure, but I feel I can help him through this. October 28th, 19...
Whoa, hold on for just a minute. That last entry, September the 6th.
Yes.
Your husband... This was September 6th, 1996.
Yes.
Your husband asked to have sex with you.
Let me go back to it, Phil. Frank is asking to sleep in the bed tonight. I know his intentions are sexual. He is my husband. It is something Jason will have to endure, but I feel I can help him through this. What is your question?
Did you have sex with your husband, with your son there?
Yes, Phil, and the reason...
Oh, come on. Now, you're saying that the kid is 13, and he's...
We did it quietly, and we did it in a way so as to disguise it. And I spoke to my son about the experience later, and he told me he was fine. So, Phil, don't go there.
Well, hold on for a minute, all right? You listen to me very carefully. You, up to this point, are talking about a boy who is traumatized by an earthquake.
Yes.
Okay. Now you're telling me, reading from your diary, that in September of 1996, your husband, Frank, asked to have sex with you, and you say, what, it's something Jason will have to endure, but you're going to help him through it?
That is exactly right. That is what a mother is for, yes.
Why couldn't the boy, one night, sleep someplace else?
Apparently, you haven't been hearing what I'm saying.
Because he's traumatized. I know that he's traumatized.
That is why he's with me, yes. He is traumatized. And he needs to be with his mother. He needs that solace.
And he needs to be in the bed while you and your husband are screwing? You know...
We are his parents, Phil, and we are not there... screwing like animals. We are intimate. It was loving. It was part of family. And again, I asked my son later if he was all right, and he said, yes, I'm fine. And
okay, yes, he's fine. He just saw mom and dad in bed getting it on.
That's correct, Phil, because I was not going to tell that boy to leave when he had been going through this kind of trauma.
Why didn't you leave him, you and Frank, go someplace else and have sex?
Phil, at this particular point in my diary, this is in September of 1996, Frank and I had not had marital relations. We had not had normal connubial relations for 6 months. Now, I felt it was very, very important.
And why was that?
I'm sorry?
Why was that?
Because we didn't think that our son was ready for that. And
okay, so you guys haven't had sex for 6 months because you have your son sleeping in bed with you.
Phil, there is nothing that you have to say to me that I haven't already heard many times over. I have fielded all the obscene phone calls, all of the commentary. There's nothing you've got to say.
There is nothing that I have to say to you that will bring you to your senses and recognize that a woman and a man having intimate relations in a bed next to their son is sick.
There is nothing that you have to say that will convince me that you are right or that you know what you're talking about. You're not a father, you're certainly not a mother, and you don't know what my son went through.
September 6th, 1996, Frank wants to have sex with me, and Jason will he'll be okay.
No, September 6th, 1996, dear diary, Frank is asking to...
Okay, I got it. I got the general gist of it. Frank's asking to have sex. You had sex with your son in that bed with your husband, correct?
That is correct. You don't understand, and I don't care, because it's the well-being of my son. And
I know, and as many people as tell you that you're a mental case, you're going to say, you know what, they can call me a mental case, because I love and I care for my son.
Now you got it, Phil. Now you understand. It doesn't matter to me. You can make fun of me. I'm going to publish a column tomorrow that puts it on the line, and I speak for a lot of women. I speak for millions of women who have been reluctant to allow their children in bed with them. I speak for a lot of women who have been reluctant to soothe the feelings and the traumatized emotions of their children because society doesn't think it's proper. And I have been reluctant to speak out. I am not frightened anymore. I am speaking out. I am very proud. And I know it's going to go a long way to help not only myself, but my friends and the women out there that read my column every day. Now, I want to continue with some of these journal entries. And
well, if there's any more incidences in there of you and Frank having sex, I don't know that I want to hear it, if that's okay with you.
You know, Phil...
If there's any more incidences in there of you and Frank having sex, I don't want to hear it.
There aren't, Phil, but that's not what I was going to say. I'd like you to broaden your mind and look at the bigger picture.
All right, what's your other diary entry?
October 28th, 1997. My neighbors are getting nosy. Jason slept with me three nights this week. Will we have to move? Will that end the harassment? And you know, Phil, we did have to move. And we eventually did relocate across town. We live in Santa Monica now. We were in West Los Angeles. So we had to move across from West L.A. toward the beach. And I can tell you very, very plainly and very honestly that I would do it again.
All right. Well, we have Margaret Gray on the line with us. She is a syndicated columnist who is talking about her son, Jason J. And you gave his name, didn't you?
Yes.
Jason J.
Jason J. Delmonico.
Yeah, professional actor, child actor, who is your son, and he is sleeping with his mother. And that was, you know, weird enough for me.
You know, I wish you wouldn't characterize this.
No, I'm going to finish. That was weird enough for me. But then I heard you say that you have your son sleeping with you and that you and Frank had sex in bed with the boy laying there.
I'm not fazed, Phil.
Okay, I'm just seeing if there is any recognition on your part that that was improper.
I'm not fazed, Phil. I love my son very much. And I'm not going to send him out of that bed if it is going to traumatize him.
And when you ask your son, was it okay that mommy and daddy were screwing?
I did not say that. I said, was it something that made you uncomfortable that mommy and daddy... we're doing naughty. And he said, no, I'm fine.
And you take his word for it.
Yes, I do. I believe the boy, and I also trust in his feelings.
How many nights a week now are you and Frank screwing?
I really wish you wouldn't call it that, Phil.
No, how many nights a week are you and Frank screwing in bed while the boy is laying there next to you?
Phil, that is not the point.
No, really, really. How many nights a week are you and Frank screwing in bed with the boy next to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I figured that would happen. You know, this thing about sleeping with mommy and daddy, you know, I don't want to say anything, but I know people whose kids are still sleeping with them, and they're like, you know, 7, 8 years old. And none of my business. I'm not going to say anything. My wife, Maria, she is, I tell you, she's fantastic. Maybe it's because I'm the evil stepdad, so I think it's wonderful whenever I, you know, whenever she's shutting the kids down, of course, I get a vicarious thrill out of that. But she had one of the kids one night. He'd seen a scary movie or something. He's 8 years old. He said, I want to sleep with a, no, he was seven at the time. I want to sleep with a grown-up tonight because I'm all freaked out about this movie that I saw. She said, tough, get back into bed. And so, you know, about 15, 20 minutes later, he's up out of bed. He's back. He says, but I want to sleep with a grown-up because I get back into bed, Charlie. And you know what? He worked it out. But, hey, if you want your kid sleeping with you, that's one thing. But 13? Because of the earthquake. And, oh, yeah, Frank hasn't had any in 6 months. Thanks a lot. Can't wait to read the column tomorrow. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, the Phil Hendry Show. Did you get her back? Margaret? Margaret?
Yes, and Phil, you owe me an apology.
I am sorry if it sounded like I was being, if it sounded like I was asking some questions that were improper, you know, as a journalist.
You are not a journalist. You're a radio talk show host. And I think what you said was indicative of an ignorance, and it also, I think, is slightly slanderous.
I apologize, okay? But your husband and you were screwing in the...
All right, thank you, Phil.
Yeah, see, there you go. She hung up because she doesn't like me characterizing it as screwing. And all right, I won't call it that, but what do you call it? What do you call... Get her back on the line, will you please, Mike? Is that her? You there? You there?
Use the word screw one more time. I'm off.
Screw.
Thank you.
Yes, there you go. I knew it. Get her back. Get her back. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Canton on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, man. I'm calling from Atlanta. You're killing me. Who is that lady?
So what Hello? Do you want? What did you want to say, sir?
I got a comment about that. You know, I got a 3-year-old boy, and I put him down in his bed. He goes to sleep there.
You got a wife in that house, too?
Yeah, I got a wife in that house. And, you know, on occasion...
So who puts the kid to bed? You put the kids to bed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why doesn't your wife do it?
Well, she does. She did it tonight. I'm still out working.
Okay.
You know, it's like a joint thing. But, you know, this lady, I mean, people go to jail for that.
For what?
You know, in Atlanta. Who the hell's going to lay next to and screw next to the 13-year-old boy? I wish you'd get back on the line because...
yeah, okay. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call, Ace. Here is Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show. That guy's about as phony as they get. Hi.
Hi.
How are you, ma'am?
Fine. How are you?
Great.
Well, I was just calling about the woman. It is very immoral. I mean, I have a son 3 months old. I'm not going to screw with him in the bed with me.
See, her argument, as best as she hung up on me, so she's not here to defend herself, her argument is that it was, quote, intimate and loving.
Intimate and loving, let it be whatever, but don't do it in front of your son. That's just, he's never going to be independent, let alone him sleeping in the same bed with them.
Right. What about the kid being traumatized and having to sleep with his parents? How old is your son?
My son is 3 months.
Oh, well, he's really young, so I'm
sure... Yeah, he's really young. But point being is that child is going to think about it throughout the rest of his life. He's never going to be the same. He is traumatized.
Well, I don't know. That's exactly what I said to her. I said, I think it's sick. I think it's sick that the kid's sleeping with mommy at the age of 13. It's been 6 years since the L.A. earthquake. Six.
He's old enough to suck it up, get in his own bed, learn what to do, be independent.
Exactly. Now, on top of that, the kid is still in mommy's bed, and Frank, her husband, hasn't had any, quote-unquote, so now he's crawling into bed with him.
Out of respect for my child, I tell my husband, get over it, go to the bathroom.
And her answer to me was, she asked her son if he was okay with it, and he said, yeah, he's fine.
He's not. He's going to tell mommy that just so... She's not worried about it.
Is she back? Hold on for a minute. Are you there?
Yes, and use the word screw one more time, you know what happens.
You're going to hang up.
That's right.
Screw.
Thank you.
Hello?
Look at that, she hung up.
She's so childish and juvenile. I mean...
Get her back on the phone, Mike. Call her back, and if she thinks we're harassing her, that's exactly what we're doing.
She thinks... I mean, does she not think of her child? She's thinking of herself and her husband, and that's bad.
I think that in a lot of ways, and you've seen this, you probably have friends. Their kids are sleeping. Is she back? Margaret.
Yeah, and you're encouraging your listeners to do it now, I see.
I didn't encourage the lady to say it. She said it.
I said it on my own will. Lady, listen, you got to think that
it's
your child.
I never would. I was
you
not
have
doing...
to have respect for your child and respect for yourself, not to do that in front of your own child.
Don't say
I mean,
don't...
if you're going to do something like that, do it when the doors are closed and the kids are asleep. Let your child grow up and be independent.
Jason J. Delmonico told me that he was fine with it. And
why do you keep giving his full name when the kid is going to go to school? He's a professional. He's a child actor, too, ma'am. He appears in TV commercials, and he's been in some films.
That's right, Jason J. Delmonico.
Oh, there we go. Let's get that name out there as much as we can. Jason
That child is going to be traumatized for the rest of his life because of his name being on this radio.
He's traumatized by the Northridge earthquake. He's getting better now that Mommy is helping him.
Because he's sleeping in the bed with Mommy and not learning to be independent. Hello? Your child is never going to get out from underneath you. He's never going to grow up. He's never going to get a wife of his own, and he's not going to get a house of his own.
Getting out from underneath me. So that's a sexual reference?
No, it's not a sexual reference.
No, that was a goodbye. Thank you.
Oh, come on.
So juvenile and childish.
Unbelievable.
I am 22 years old, and I'm not that childish. A childish person would keep on hanging up the phone instead of facing reality.
Face reality and start to look at the facts. Oh, look at this. Why are you hanging up like that?
I will not have any sexual references about my son and me. I will not have that.
We're not saying that.
But it is.
What did you say?
It is, honey. You're having sex with your son.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Can you believe that? You know something?
Yeah, I can. For someone like that, yes, I can.
What a baby.
Yes, definitely.
You tell her, you call her back, Mike, and you tell her that, you know what, I'm going to keep bugging her until she behaves like a normal human being. What's the backline number? I forget. Oh, okay. Anyway, ma'am, that is the thing. And I would say this, because I have friends who are my age. I'm in my 40s, so now they have 8 and 9-year-old kids. And they're letting them sleep with them. And I said, you know, forget it. My wife, Maria, she's tough. She throws the kids down the stairs. It's great. Try that. Try that. When they get to be about 9, push them down some stairs.
Just make sure they have football padding.
You got it. All right. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Hickory on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi.
Your comment?
Is that me?
You got your radio turned up there, lady?
Is the radio up? You're talking to me, right?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Turn your radio down, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, turn the radio down. Okay. This woman is sick.
Uh-huh.
She needs psychological help.
Right.
Very much so.
Right.
And her child is going to need it.
Well, I mean,
I have a 14-year-old and a 3-year-old. There is no way on God's green earth that they would sleep in bed with me, let alone would I have sex with them.
Well, did you hear the comment? She said, what did you think about Mommy and Daddy doing naughty? And he said he was fine with it.
Well, not even that comment, Mommy and Daddy doing naughty, that's giving the child, when he's of age to have sexual relations, it's naughty? Not a naughty
Did you get
thing.
Her back? Did you get her back? Margaret?
Yeah, I'm listening to all of this, and it's all very slanderous.
Honey, you need a shrink. Let me ask you something.
Why do I need a shrink?
Did you sleep with your parents? Did your parents have sex while you were in bed with them? Did you sleep with them when you were 14 years old?
You say it as if it's unusual.
It is, my dear. It is unhealthy.
Wait a second. You are saying that if you're spending the evening with Mommy and Daddy and they do a naughty, that it's bad?
First of all, I consider it making love. And another thing is, no,
at least
you're not using the word naughty. Think of what the word naughty means. When your child does something wrong, that's naughty.
You don't say those things to a child. You say,
tell your child that having sex is naughty?
Because Frank likes it a certain way, and I said, well, that's the naughty way.
First of all, your child is 13 years old. Your child should not even be hearing that type of discussion.
Hold the line for just a moment. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, whoopee-doo. Aren't you dramatic?
We'll be right back.